Stacy Woodson, welcome to Elaine's Literary Salon at Creatures, Crimes, and Creativity. So excited to be here at Austin Camacho's conference.
Yes.
You've been here before, right? Or is this your first time?
It's my first conference.
Well, congratulations. Yes. It's very fun. I'm excited to talk to you about your experience here.
Oh, nice.
But first, the bio. Stacy Woodson is a U.S. Army combat veteran. Memories of her time in the military are often a source of inspiration for her stories. She made her crime fiction debut in Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine's Department of First Stories and won the 2018 Reader's Award, the second time in the award's history a debut took first place. Amazing. Since then, she has placed over 40 short stories in various publications, three winning the Derringer Award for Excellence in Short Mystery Fiction. Is it just three now, or you just won this year, right?
No, it's three.
Okay, three. Pretty impressive.
Thanks.
She's a five-time nominee. Holy cow. Her short fiction has been nominated for the McCavity Award, Thriller Award, Anthony Award, the anthology as a co-editor, selected for the Best Mystery Stories of the Year, named a finalist for ScreenCraft's Best Cinematic Short Story, and adapted for animation. That animation was very cool as well. She also writes screenplays and was recently accepted to the Writers Guild Foundation's Veterans Writing Project. Her pilot script, Poppins, was named a second rounder in the Drama Teleplay Pilot category for the 2025 Austin Film Festival Script Competition. And for those who don't know, the Austin Film Festival is a big deal.
Oh.
When she's not writing, she co-edits anthologies with Michael Bracken for Down and Out Books and Level Best Books and teaches at Outliers Writing University. You're such a slacker. She is also a member of the Screen Actors Guild and works as background talent for movies and television, which has deepened her understanding of the filmmaking process and the need for practical scripts. Past projects include Homeland, Jack Ryan, The Walking Dead, World Beyond, Silo, Terminalist, Dark Wolf, Wonder Woman 1984, and The House of Dynamite. So, Stacy, welcome. It's good to have you on our podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for mentors, really. It's the reason why I am where I am today.
That is quite a list of accomplishments. When did you start trying to publish?
2010.
So you've done all that since 2010?
Yes.
That's pretty impressive.
Oh, the community is amazing that way. I mean, our writers group, my critique partners are so critical to my writing and the mentors who have helped me along the way. It's something really beautiful about the crime fiction community that I don't think is replicated often in other genres.
So you mentioned community a couple times right off the bat,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Could writing and reaching this level of success be possible without a writing community, or would it just be harder or take longer?
I think it would be very disheartening to do that by yourself because, you know, it's a hard business.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the rejections come in, and they do, and there was a lot of them, and we always talk about our successes, but we don't talk about the dark night of the soul moments, your writer's group will encourage you. And then you also have people who genuinely get excited for you when you're successful and are really great about promoting you. And so I think you can be successful, but, you know, it would be very lonely.
So how did you first get involved with the community? Did you go back a little bit? Like when you started, how long did you want to be a writer? And then when you first started writing, did you immediately reach out to community? Because that's sort of your personality to be social. Or did you realize I need somebody else here to guide me through this?
I wrote as a kid. You hear that story. I dabbled in it. But I didn't really think about writing seriously until I was on maternity leave with my son. That's why I know the exact year I started writing. And I wrote 10 pages and I was innocent, didn't know what I was doing. And I went to Thriller Fest and I went to Mastercraft Fest, which is nuts with 10 pages, but I did. Mm-hmm. And because I knew I didn't know anything. And I was fortunate to be in a situation in my life where I could travel like that. And I had resources that, you know, a lot of people don't have. Which now there's so many wonderful online opportunities that I didn't have back then. And so I went out seeking connection and also how to learn and how the business worked. Because I think there's something that you get by being in person with folks that you don't get by reading.
So how much of an accelerator is it to go into like a conference like that and to expose yourself to professionals who can kind of guide you through the business and give you advice as opposed to learning it the hard way, right? Which is doing everything wrong for a number of years.
Don't we do it always, right? I mean, I think we've done both. I think the key with conferences, people... And I don't like the word networking. It feels so transactional.
Mm-hmm.
But if you genuinely love writers and you're interested in story, when you come in and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to meet people who are as excited about what I'm excited about, it becomes a very organic moment and process. And so I definitely wouldn't be where I'm at without having attended conferences. My mentors have come along, not when I've met them right away, but because they've seen me and I've seen them over and over. You know, it's a building process. And it's always things that are unexpected. You know, you're like, oh, one day I hope you're my mentor. There's these moments that happen, and then you find yourself in a very fortunate situation to have somebody who cares enough to spend time helping you along. And I feel it's my responsibility to do the same thing. You know, we have to pay it forward.
So I always feel like networking in the good term, in the good way, the good definition, right?
Yeah, not transactional.
But yeah. I always feel like that's a superpower of yours, because you can go into, you tend to put people together, right? Other writers, you bring people, someone says they're working on a project, you say, hey, you should talk to so-and-so, whatever. So I think it comes naturally to you. But how would you recommend for people who say haven't done that or don't have the sort of natural ability to do that? Like, if you're coming to a conference and it's your first time, mm-hmm. how would you recommend like some new writer builds these relationships?
Well, we all love writing, and I'm sure if you come to a conference, you'll want to hear someone speak because you love their writing. And just talking about story. I love the idea that you had for this novel. Or can you tell me a little more about something that you said on your panel? And it becomes a natural way to start a conversation with somebody rather than going in cold, because it is awkward. You feel like that kid on the playground that's not being picked for the soccer team. You're kind of awkwardly standing there. And but if you come with some sense of what you want to ask, or you hear something that comes from a genuine place, there are moments where you will be able to ask that.
So now at this point in your career, when you're coming to a conference like this one, do you have an agenda, or even that sounds bad, right? But do you come with like, hey, I'd like to meet so-and-so, or I'd like to ask so-and-so about this, or I have a project I'd like to see if anyone has advice on? Do you come with some plan, or do you just show up?
Now I just show up. But that's come with years of having planned, right? And I also find too, sometimes those organic moments in the hall talking to somebody, you find out later that you wouldn't normally have approached them that way if you had known what they did or how they, where they are in the business, right? So no, I'm more organic now. I'm not saying don't prepare, but I also have done enough with craft and certain things that make me feel a little more confident than I've been in the past. I'm not saying it isn't important, but I think as you grow in the community, this becomes more of a reunion than it does. You don't look at it as a business opportunity, even though it is.
And how much do you get from this, from like those hallway conversations or sitting at the bar or having a meal or something, versus being in the actual, like, you know, sessions and talking to people in a more formal setting? Like, how much do you get from that when everyone lets their guard down and they're just hanging out together?
Well, I think there are different stages of your career. When I went to Craft Fest at Thriller Fest for the first couple of years, I was taking notes, and it was incredibly, it was amazing. I felt like I was being given a gift. And then over time, you realize you learn some things, and the hallway conversations become more valuable. I love BoucherCon for that reason. Every time I go there, some wonderful creative moment happens, and it sets me on a path. And so people who are introverts, it's really hard because they want to go hide in their room and recharge. I know I do sometimes as well, but those hallway conversations are so important, I believe.
So are you calling yourself an introvert?
People don't realize I am one.
Okay, so define introvert for me, because you are incredibly social. Does it take more energy than it would take somebody else?
Yes. My definition of an introvert isn't someone who can't be outgoing. And I will say, though, this environment's very unique for me. I feel a lot of joy because I'm excited about writing, like we all are. And I think we all kind of create a churn when we're together. But I need alone time. You know, there's a moment where, like, if you look around the conference, everybody's, in my opinion, I can see who's on low battery. And I'm like, oh, you are where I'm at. I am at. You know, before you came and grabbed me for this interview, which I'm, thank you so much for the opportunity, I was in the whole, I need an espresso kind of, like, moment. And I actually shared the wall with Drew. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I just need to sit here for a moment. And we just kind of sat there, and we were trying to refill. So that's my definition of somebody who gets energy from being alone. To me, a classic extrovert is somebody who just continues to kind of like rise based on being around people.
If you'd like, we could just ask the viewers to sit quietly, and we can just sit quietly here and recharge. We can give 7 to 8 minutes of dead air in the podcast.
No, I want you to hum for me.
You think we're okay?
No, you need to hum.
You don't want any humming or singing. So you've won in the mystery thriller suspense category for short stories. You've been nominated or won all the big ones.
No, I wouldn't say that. But okay, thank you. It's very generous.
A lot of them.
No, but
you've been very successful, right? So, thank you. What is it about short story that drives you to write them? and you're now writing scripts, you novels. What are the differences, and are you attracted to each form in a different way? Like, what is your favorite? What's driving you?
Oh, that's interesting. So I started with a novel. The novel, I was lucky to get an agent. It didn't sell. I'm glad it didn't, because there was so much need to learn about writing. So originally I turned to short fiction as an apprenticeship. What's my resting state? What's my voice? How does an unreliable narrator work? Am I a cozy you solve it kind of person, or am I a hard-boiled noir? And it was a wonderful playground, and it taught me a lot about writing. I fell in love with the form. I feel like I'm cheating on short fiction with other forms because I love it that much. But I also love scripts. And when I was trying to teach myself screenwriting, I adapted a short story because there was space to really understand the difference between prose and the visual medium in a way where if you have a novel, this behemoth that you have to, break down, I think it's tougher. And oftentimes short fiction is about one thing. And I was writing a pilot. And so I knew that there was some confidence I had that it held together. I changed it quite a bit because visual storytelling is so different. But that's how I started with the screenplays. And I love screenplays. And I'm a visual writer. So when I'm in a story, I'm almost like a method actor. I have to feel what's going on in order to write it and see it. And so to me, it was a natural, pivot point. But I think each fills the other for me. I need to be challenged. I like to learn. It fills up the creative bucket. And then I'll go back to a different form.
So because they are so different, and I love that you were experimenting with short story because it gives you a chance in a very, it's not like you're spending a year writing a short story,
I write slow.
It seems like you churn them out pretty quickly.
Not compared to you.
No, not compared to like a novel, right? A novel will take much longer, so you're able
Jeff
to experiment.
Jeff chases word count, and it's very impressive because, and it's quality words, and I envy him, but anyway.
Not always quality. So because you've tried all this stuff and now you're writing scripts, I mean, right now, today, where is your passion? Where does it lie?
You're making me declare a major?
I am.
I feel like I'm
today,
back on a
today,
Zoom
it
with
be,
you.
Today, it could be different in a month, right?
Right now, my passion is screenplays.
Okay.
Because I'm in it and I want to understand how to deliver one in a powerful way. And I feel like I'm lucky to be in a time where I have a little momentum in that regard. And an opportunity to talk to people in the industry and really learn from them. But I can't learn from them. It kind of goes back to being prepared when you go to conferences. You know, you have to understand the form and what works and what doesn't in your mind so that you can have intelligent conversations with people who might be able to teach you and mentor you. And so I'm very much looking at, that form right now.
So where do you go to learn? Like, I know you spend a lot of time studying craft, and when you're outside of like classes or outside of conferences, where is it? Where do you learn about script writing, for example? Like, how did you start? What is your process? Like, when you're like, oh, okay, I love this. I want to learn this. I don't know anything at the beginning. Where did you go?
For screenwriting?
Yeah.
I started looking at what I was watching and why it resonated with me. And then I looked at the writers who wrote those shows. And I looked at their journey. For example, I think Shonda Rhimes is amazing. And she was a huge fan of Aaron Sorkin. And if you look at her dialogue, the pace with which she delivers a dialogue is very similar to him. And so it was a kind of, if you had a mind map, it wasn't a clean line, but I looked at people who I admired, and I have a very wide range of shows that I like, and yet there is a common thread through them, which I didn't realize until I sat down and started dissecting them. So that's where I started. And then I would try to listen to podcasts of people who I admired and also take classes.
And how much do you feel like you have to learn before you start reaching out to professionals and people in the industry? Or do they happen simultaneously?
Oh, in terms of if you had questions?
Yeah, to learn. Do you feel like you have to spend
like
some time reading books?
Thing. Yeah.
Or do you, like, would you reach out or try to apply for something? Or do you feel like you have to have a base level of knowledge? Or should, like, somebody who's watching this who's interested, mm-hmm. should they do some basic learning before they try to get into, like, apply for fellowships or reach out for things? Or, what do you think is the best pathway based on your experience?
I think you don't know what you don't know until you try to write something. And, Adam really was wonderful in mentoring me.
Adam Meyer.
Yeah. He's in our writers group. And he just...
Emmy Award winning Adam
yes.
Meyer.
And so when I took this pivot down the screenwriting path, he was like, okay, final draft, Stacey, we can do this. And but I took the story. I adapted it. I went all the way through it. So when I came to him as a mentor, mm-hmm. I knew my questions. And I think that is very important to know what you're asking and why. And you're throwing clay on a wheel so someone can give you some guidance. And I think without that clay, they really don't know how much you understand and how to talk to you in terms of, you know, where you're at skill level wise. So if you look at a new writer who's still learning point of view, for instance, you're not going to talk about motivation reaction units with them because it's a very granular aspect of, you know, writing, and they won't be able to attach it to anything because they haven't taken the time to dissect why it works. Now, other people don't come to this way. I'm very much into craft. But I also believe when you write, whether it's screenplays or prose, the best stories come from those organic moments when you're not over-engineering something, that you're feeling it, you understand the stakes of your character, you're in that narrative drive, and that's when the good stuff comes. But when it's not working, these tools, I think, are very valuable because you can go, it's like diagnosing an engine. We always joke around, I'm like, I'm at the point in my life where I'm like, I have an oil leak. I can drive it into the mechanic. And they're like, okay, but I don't know how to fix the leak, right? In terms of screenplays in particular, I was going to Adam, hey, this isn't holding together, help me out, you know, and he would help me. I also had another mentor who was very helpful to me during that application process. So mentors are so important, and that comes back to our conversation about community.
Yeah. What resources would you recommend? Like online resources or books about screenwriting?
You're talking about specifically screenwriting?
Yeah.
If you're
or short stories too. Like, what have you found really helpful for new writers? Because we have a lot of like aspiring writers and people who just started in the business.
Oh gosh, there's so many wonderful things. If you're a veteran, Veterans in Media Entertainment is a wonderful organization, and they offer screenwriting classes. I started there. For free for veterans. You have to register. I can't say enough good things about VME. They're the ones that highlighted the Veterans Writing Project to me. So that's a great resource. If you're into short fiction, Short Con's great. And Jeff's kind enough to host that conference at his restaurant.
And when is the next one coming
up? It's the first Saturday in June.
Nice.
I don't remember the
date. 2026.
Yes. And it's an intensive day where you learn craft, you learn the business of writing, and you learn how to sustain a career in the space. And short fiction authors of various levels will come and gather together, and it's another wonderful experience if you have questions or you want to meet people who you admire in that space. And so that's wonderful. Outliers Writing University is a great resource. Doug Lyle and Kathleen Antrim, that's their program. And then, of course, joining a local chapter like MWA or Sisters in Crime. You'll have a lot of opportunity, and you'll get to build community by doing that. Volunteering for conferences, volunteering to even host Zoom, I know you do that for Backroom for a very long time, mm-hmm. is a wonderful opportunity because you're giving something back to the community and you're getting something at the same time. So keep in mind, that's a wonderful way mm-hmm. to, or even when you show up to a conference, volunteer to be a timer. If you're like Harlan Coben was speaking and I'm like, I want to be his timer, right? Because then you have a moment where you can ask a question and you're giving something back to the community and you're creating a moment that you wouldn't normally have.
So. That's all great advice. I love it. You you just had an anthology that was Anthony nominated.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that.
Was that
how many anthologies have you edited?
That's the only one that's published, but I've co-edited three with Michael Bracken, who has been a tremendous mentor of mine. And we used to toss NDAs back and forth about anthologies. And I always think anthologies should be something that's sort of nostalgic and something that you can't really replicate in a novel. And he and I used to have so much fun doing that. And one day he said, do you want to co-edit? And I said, yes. And I treated it like an apprenticeship. And I've learned a lot from him. It's a lot of work. It's a lot more work than people can imagine. Because especially with developmental edits, there's an investment of time. And the editor has to have a vision for the anthology, the tone they want to set, and that has to come into the editing when you're building something like that. And you have to learn how to sometimes give notes to people who you've admired for decades, and that's very nerve-wracking.
How do you do that? So how do you offer constructive criticism to somebody who's like a huge best-selling author?
I think I have learned so much about giving notes through the Veterans Writing Project. I mean, I've always known I would want to receive notes. But there's an elegant way I think screenwriters give notes that I've not seen replicated in our community. And it's offering a way to phrase something like, there's another way to tell this story, or asking leading questions that really helps people arrive at the answer you're looking for. And sometimes it's different than what you think might be the solution. When I go through sometimes, I try to use words like that. I may give a suggestion just so that they understand what I'm trying to arrive at. And oftentimes they come up with something 5 million times better. So it's, but you know, it's a professional product. And oftentimes those writers that you admire so much, they're professionals, and they see your role as an editor, and they understand that, you know, they want to deliver a story that meets your vision, and they're really great about it. So, but you know, you still get nervous.
Well, I've spoken to several authors that you've edited and who praised your edits for making their work much, much better. Right?
Thank you for that. That means a lot to me.
Yeah, I mean, they're really appreciative, right? Because, I mean, as an author, too, when an editor does something and makes it work better, I'm so happy because what a gift. But what would you tell people not to do? Like, what are the things if you're, because, you know, all writers or many writers are trying to get into critique groups, they have beta readers, they're trying to work in this community and both give and receive feedback. So what should they not be doing when they're, like, giving feedback on a piece?
If they're critiquing another person?
Yes.
Remember, you're coming, depending on your level of experience, you know, if you're new, two new people critiquing each other about craft is a little tough. You know, you're a reader. Come to it as a reader first. And you never, in my opinion, want to steal someone's joy. We're all writers. So my thought is to lead with positivity. I mean, but still give, you know, notes that aren't highlighting some kind of, I've received notes that feel like someone's grandstanding, right? You know, they're in a moment and it really zaps the life out of you. I will say too, learning from personal experience, when I'm working on bigger projects, I don't like to share too much because I have had early pages reviewed because I thought that's what you do. And it has remarkably changed my enthusiasm for a story and the way I would have delivered it because I start doubting that I'll be able to stick the landing. Yeah. And so I would say be very careful about when you introduce stories to somebody for critique, especially larger works. Often I'll take my short fiction when it's done. And I'm grateful, Jeff, you read it. Tom Milani and Adam Meyer have been really amazing about finding little ways to elevate my words, and I'm so grateful, but they're done. The stories are done. I also think a critique partner is great if you're an external processor like I am. So I'll hop on a call with Adam. He's kind of comes to story the same way I do. And I think that is important to find somebody who comes to story the way you do. So when you are blocked, they understand the why behind it. Adam's very character driven. I'm like, I don't feel it, and he can get it. I think if I say, I don't feel it to you, you respect that, but you're like, I don't just, you've got a plot, right? What's your problem? You know, it's a very, and both work. I mean, and that's why you're prolific. But you have to understand if the person can help you solve your problem based on a commonality in terms of how you approach writing.
Yeah, I think that's a really important note too about not sharing work too early.
Yes,
that can be a death for projects. Definitely. Like I don't share anything till it's ready and polished and ready to go, and then I'll start taking notes.
Yeah.
Because if it's not ready too, you're also respecting other people's time by giving them something that's finished.
Yeah, yeah. But when we do start, we think, okay, I'm going to give a chapter. It's going to keep me on track, and not always.
Right.
You know, it really sometimes it derails you.
So I have one question I ask all the writers when I interview them, and that is, where do you think story comes from? And it sounds very simple, but I've had some really diverse answers about this. You know, because you're creating something that doesn't exist and using an imagination to create a fictional world and fictional characters and fictional circumstances. How does that happen, and how do you make that magic work?
Wow.
Simple question.
Oh, yeah. World peace. No. Well, I call them tell me more moments. I think you have to be, for me, I'm intellectually curious about people, the choices they make and why. And I have a moment where I'm like, oh, something tickles my brain. That's a tell me more moment. So it becomes something I'm interested in and something that I start to research. Or wondering what it feels like to be in someone else's shoes. I always use the example, I wrote a story from a pyromaniac's point of view. People are like, oh, I want to know the difference between a pyromaniac and an arsonist and what drives somebody to be it. And it was this exploration of what it would be like to be in their head. So I think there's a part of it is just a curiosity about the world. Part of it's about empathy. And part of it is about this wonderful thing that we just don't understand. It's that subconscious, you know, where something kind of just rises to the surface. And if it keeps coming back, you know that it's something you need to write about. And sometimes it's frustrating. Even when I'm writing something bigger, I'll get this piece of something, and I used to be very rule oriented, like, well, that doesn't apply or whatever, and dismiss it. But I've learned to say, you know, oh, this goes someplace. I'm not sure where. And so thank you. I'll put it here. You know, it's like I'm writing a crime novel and all of a sudden a purple people eater, I was using this example today, hops in, and normally I'd be like, this is not the right job, but I put it aside, you know, because your subconscious reveals things to you in a very interesting way. And I think it's wonderful to be able to play with that. and know that that's the magical part of writing. I don't know if that answers your question.
Oh, no, it's a great answer. And I think you gave us a title, too, the Tell Me More moment.
Oh, like, yes. That's fantastic. You know what I'm talking about, right? You hear a title, you're like, what? You know, or you get hooked into something. And in particular, short fiction, you have such a short window to pull someone into a story. Yeah. And I think working in that space teaches you how to arrive at a Tell Me More moment. Because you do have the economy of words.
Right.
Why am I here? You know, I'm trusting you with my time.
Yeah.
I think sometimes novelists really struggle with figuring out where to start, you know, the Tell Me More moment, the stakes, and, you know, they'll lose readers because I call it exhaling into a novel instead of putting that up front.
Well, I mean, do you find that writing those short stories makes you a better novelist? I mean, it's a very different art form, right? And it's much harder in some ways because you have to do so much with character and background, everything in maybe 5,000 words.
Yes and no, because I think sometimes the economy of words for me becomes so intense. I'm like, I don't let myself relax to write. Like, that's too much. I really do struggle with describing certain things, like rooms and settings and things, and it screws me up a bit personally. And I've had to learn to do that later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's difficult for me because I like to write in order, but it always doesn't happen that way. So. Yes, in terms of having a good page turner and understanding why something might not work, it's valuable. But I think oftentimes, too, it can be a hindrance because you don't put resting moments in where you should to deeply reveal character because you typically don't have them. Or, you know, the longer form becomes a little scary. So this new book I'm working on, because of this wonderful education I've had in screenplays, I'm breaking it up into episodes. And I'm using what I'm learning in screenwriting to actually do something very different. I'm laying out beat sheets, which is unusual because, you know, Tom, cover your ears if you're listening. I'm kind of outlining. But I'm doing that, and it really is exciting for me because it doesn't feel like I've told myself the story yet, you know, but the temples are there. And it's just like mini novellas to me, and that makes it feel a little more accessible. And I'm hoping it'll be a really tight read as a result.
So you're looking, if you look at outlining as a bad thing and that you're doing it as a necessity, or are you...
I've tried outlining in a lot of detail, and I've had it. It's a hindrance,
yeah.
But I cannot start without temples. It's like driving down the road. I mean, I'm driving to New Mexico. Maybe that's good enough. But for short stories, I need to know the twist. I have to understand why this character and the stakes to write. And I think novels, bigger projects, are the same way.
Yeah. I do exactly the same thing with that.
Well, you do a lot in your head.
Yeah.
Your system of writing is incredible.
Well, what is
at some point you're going to write a book, right?
I am writing a book on that.
Good.
Well, what is your system of writing?
It's a hot mess.
You're still prolific and you're still winning awards and you're growing. And you're trying all these different mediums. So whatever you're doing is working.
Well, thank you. I have to feel it to write it. So I do a lot of reading and research. I'm disciplined enough to know, why am I here? Am I being indulgent and avoiding something, or do I need to know? And sometimes the answer is I'm being indulgent. Sometimes it's no, I can't quite land on what I'm trying to do. I've got to go back to researching or going someplace to see something. But I have to feel the story to write it.
How important is that to be in a place, a setting, yourself?
I think it's important. I know some people, and you can write about places you haven't been, but there's something that happens when you're there. There's sights and smells and certain moments you can't replicate unless you've been in the space, in my view.
Have you ever had something that really surprised you by going to research a setting for a story or a script?
Oh, gosh. I did, but I'm trying to remember what it was.
It was that surprising.
It was that surprising, yeah.
Those are happy moments, though, right? When you go and you discover something when you're...
I've done that. You know, I call it walking the grid.
Yeah.
You know, walking the grid. Well, you know, because your background, and we have similar backgrounds, walking the grid is very, very important. And I was in New Orleans for BoucherCon, and I called it a walk the grid before I got there. I wanted to know what streets were, you know, at night, not something I wanted to go down. And the city changed a lot at night from the day, and who comes out and why. And so if you're writing about that in a believable way, I think you need to know those nuances for someone who's there. If I believe setting can be a character in a story, and in those moments, being there is really critical. If your setting is not a character in your story, then maybe less so. But this project I'm working on right now, it's inspired by a setting that's really important to what I'm doing, and being there has taught me a lot.
Oh, I love that. So I'm a big fan of your characters and your writing. Where should viewers go to find your work?
Oh, my website, stacywhitson.com.
Well, Stacy, it's really been fun. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well done.
Yes. Thank you. Great interview. Thank you so much.